KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO News,
I'm Bill O'Neill. All of Washington State will remain in phase one of the governor's coronavirus recovery plan for at least another 10 days. Details coming up.
First, an update from ABC.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal law enforcement officials say they've opened nearly 300 investigations into Capitol Hill rioters, about a third of them for federal felonies. ABC News Chief Global Affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz reported from the scene that day and explains what she saw on the ground.
You had a vast array of people there, but all of them extremist, extreme Trump supporters saying that Joe Biden didn't win the election. You had militia members. You had armed individuals in that crowd. You had people in tactical gear. There were a number of veterans I saw, which is so disturbing. Law enforcement, there were some former firefighters, for instance.
Security at its highest around the Capitol and country as a result, the FBI warning in a joint intelligence bulletin obtained by ABC News that the January 6th siege emboldened extremists and, quote, is very likely part of an ongoing trend. Targets include racial, ethnic, and religious minorities, along with journalists and government officials. A day after detailing his economic plan to help Americans and businesses recover in this pandemic, President-elect Joe Biden in Delaware this hour laying out plans to get millions of shots into the arms of Americans. He says it begins with streamlining supplies and working with states.
We didn't get into all of this overnight. We won't get out of it overnight either. But we will get through it, and we'll get through it together.
That is a new variant that was first detected in the UK could increase the trajectory of the pandemic here in the US.
It only took months for a more contagious mutation of COVID-19 to become the dominant circulating coronavirus variant in England. Now with that variant detected in at least 10 U.S. states, the CDC indicating it could become the predominant variant of COVID-19 in the U.S. by March. While the CDC says there are no known differences in clinical outcomes from the B.1.1.7 variant, it's more contagious, making mitigation such as mask wearing, social distancing, and hand hygiene even more critical.
You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon, KOMO News Time 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. All eight regions of Washington State will remain in phase one of Governor Jay Inslee's coronavirus recovery plan, at least for the time being, KOMO's Bill O'Neill explains.
The plan requires each of the state's eight regions to see a decreasing trend of 10% or more in COVID cases per 100,000 people over a two-week span in order for them to individually move to phase two. The COVID-19 test positivity rate must also fall below 10%. New hospitalizations must also decline by 10% over 2 weeks, while intensive care units must have a less than 90% occupancy rate. All regions will continue under phase one until at least January 25th. Bill O'Neill, KOMO News.
The feds aren't keeping up their promises on coronavirus vaccine supply, according to one local public health officer.
King County Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin says he can't speak to word the federal stockpile doesn't exist, as officials claimed, but he says the pace of vaccine delivery hasn't kept up with what was advertised under Operation Warp Speed.
We're not getting as many doses as we anticipated. The doses haven't been increasing each week. We have very little insight into the supply issues at the federal level, but we are ready and willing and very eager to receive whatever doses are available as soon as they can come to us.
Duchin says despite that, they have managed to administer more than 60% of the doses they've received so far. Duchin is also concerned that King County's case numbers have been on a steady rise, and he says with the more transmissible variants likely to become widespread, that'll make the virus even harder to control. Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
There is no stockpile. Washington and other states were preparing to receive a surge of COVID vaccines after the Trump administration promised to stop holding back second doses. Now KOMO's Charlie Harger tells us there weren't any doses being held back.
The Washington Post reports that the Trump administration has already been shipping out all the vaccines that are available. This is despite the Health and Human Services Secretary saying earlier this week that Operation Warp Speed would release the vaccines being held in reserve for second shots. There is no extra vaccine on the way. The Washington State Health Department was blindsided. In a tweet, they say they understand why people may feel the situation is confusing and frustrating. Charlie Harger, KOMO News.
Coming up,
I'm Sue Romero. Impassioned public testimony at the first hearing of a police reform bill in Olympia.
But first at 104, KOMO traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Evan.
In South Center, northbound 405 at West Valley Highway, a stalled vehicle partially blocking the on-ramp from West Valley Highway. In Seattle, northbound 5 at the exit from North 5 to the West Seattle Bridge, it stalls partially blocking that exit as well. And there's road work on I-90 at Highway 900 in both directions, blocking the right lane until further notice, and the Sounder North Line suspended until Monday for increased landslide danger. This report sponsored by Mattress Firm. For a limited time, save up to $300 on top-rated mattress brands only during the year-end sale at Mattress Firm. Our next report is at 1:14. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
Our Como forecast now from meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Should be a nice sunset across western Washington this evening, the exception being Central Sound. High-resolution models are still holding on to the potential of maybe pockets of light drizzle, keeping us in the clouds here for the afternoon. Otherwise, clearing tonight and pockets of morning fog on Saturday will be followed by a general increase in the clouds tomorrow afternoon and ahead of another light rain that will fall Saturday night, wrapping up early Sunday. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day Monday will be dry and rain-free, and then trending colder by the middle of next week, and maybe cold enough to see a light rain-snow mix in some of our foothill locations Wednesday night. And the Como Weather Center meteorologist, Kristen Clark.
Sunshine in Seattle, and what a nice afternoon it's been so far. 52 degrees at Como News. Como News time 106. An investigation underway after a Lakewood police officer fired a shot this morning. It happened around 9 a.m. on Lincoln Avenue Southwest, where an officer fired that single shot during some sort of incident. Nobody was hurt. A suspect is in custody. Lawmakers in Olympia had their first public hearing on a major police reform bill that would affect Washington's 11,000 peace officers. Como's Sue Romero reports.
The Criminal Justice Training Commission certifies law enforcement in the state. A focus of House Bill 1082 is on decertifying officers that have shown misconduct. Many who spoke were family members of people who died after interactions with police. Elaine Simon says the officer who killed her foster son should not have been on the job.
In his 11-year career, he is responsible for 3 of 9 killings in Auburn, Washington. To me, that is a serial killer.
Law enforcement agencies opposed the bill, which would also change the makeup of the training commission with fewer police and more private citizens.
More than 70% of the members of the commission would not be experts in or be subject to the rules of and the actions of the commission.
That's Jim McMahon with the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. Sue Romero, Como News.
A lengthy opinion released by the Washington State Supreme Court yesterday states that Benton County Sheriff Jerry Hatcher potentially committed a felony when he backdated an internal review of his actions related to a recall effort. Como's Carlene Johnson reports.
The 47 pages from the High Court is an expansion of their opinion 2 months ago that stated the recall effort for Sheriff Jerry Hatcher could continue. The court said the 8 charges against him were legally and factually sufficient. The recall petition was filed by Benton County Sheriff Jason Erickson. Alan Harvey is Erickson's attorney and tells me seeing that all 9 justices were in agreement that the charges, including hindering an investigation and intimidating witnesses, had factual basis, was a fairly big deal.
I would say they were disgusted with the abuse by the public official. That's my takeaway.
Sheriff Hatcher's repeatedly denied the allegations made against him at a rally last month in support of businesses reopening.
As a sheriff, I'm supposed to deliver public safety. That's what I was hired to do, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to protect the constitutional rights.
The committee to recall Sheriff Hatcher needs to gather nearly 14,000 signatures by May. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
This weekend, more than 370 Washington National Guard members will travel to Washington, D.C. to help patrol the area. We also reached out to the governor's office about Inauguration Day, where you learned that the governor will not be going to the nation's capital because of COVID-19 concerns. Airlines stepping up security on flights to and from the nation's capital amid new threats of mob violence. Como's Joel Moreno talked with passengers at SeaTac.
Passengers will get extra scrutiny if they're headed to Washington, D.C. With the inauguration looming and protesters expected from around the nation, airlines are adopting temporary new rules.
I don't think you can be too cautious given everything that's going on.
Several airlines won't allow firearms inside checked baggage for the next week for flights headed to the nation's capital.
I'm all about Second Amendment rights.
Masks are already required to fly commercially. initially, but after a rowdy group of passengers refused to wear them on a flight back from D.C., Alaska Airlines is doubling down. Extra flight attendants are being added to support compliance. Limits are being placed on ticket sales to and from the D.C. area. Passengers must stay in their seats for 1 hour from takeoff or landing near the U.S. Capitol, and pilots will be ready to divert to the nearest airport over disruptive behavior.
Como's Joel Moreno, most of these security changes will expire a few days after the inauguration is over. Coming up on Como News after sports.
Seattle's most unique musician hospitalized. I'm Corwin Hake. How you can buy his records to help out.
First at 110, an update on sports. From the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk, a local soccer star might be headed to Wales.
Mercer Island's Jordan Morris has blossomed playing soccer for Seattle Sounders. Word is the MLS team is in talks now to loan Morris to Swansea City of England's second tier. Jordan Morris at this week's U.S. men's national team camp was asked about the possible move to Europe.
For me, it's a similar stance of kind of where I was before MLS Cup. If the right offer and the right team, you know, comes forward, I definitely, it's something that I'd be interested in.
Jordan plans to play for the U.S. team preparing for the 2021 Summer Olympics. The Seattle Mariners now have control of all 40 men on their roster for the 2021 season. Signing contracts today with catcher Tom Murphy, Gold Glove shortstop J.P. Crawford, and relief pitcher Rafael Montero. Lopsided Pac-12 basketball losses for both Washington and Washington State last night in L.A. The Huskies, hammered by USC, fall to 1-10 on the season. The Dogs play at UCLA tomorrow afternoon. The conference-leading Bruins whipped Wazoo by 30. The Cougs take on the Trojans tomorrow. And Sports Illustrated's Eric Williams reports the Seahawks might be interested in former Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn to become Seattle's new offensive coordinator. Sports at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Schwartz, Como News.
There's a musician in Seattle named Richard Peterson, and he's been, at least before the pandemic, a very frequent visitor to us here at Como News and Como Plaza. In fact, there's a grand piano downstairs in our lobby that has been rented and was essentially just for him to use whenever he stopped by. Well, this veteran street musician, now in the hospital, and friends hope that you'll buy his records to help pay his bills. Como's Corwin Hake explains.
For decades, Richard Peterson and his trumpet entertained on the streets of Seattle, especially outside sporting events and especially around the holidays. This past year, just before Christmas, the 72-year-old musician was hospitalized.
He can't walk. You know, it's diabetes related.
Tom Dyer is founder of Olympia's Green Monkey Records.
Richard's been diabetic for quite some time.
Seattle's rock community has long embraced Peterson, and since the 1980s have helped him record 7 albums in his idiosyncratic style. Dyer has just released all of them for digital download.
All the money from his releases goes to Richard.
Peterson may be an autistic savant with an amazing memory for numbers, dates, and music. Dyer admits, as a musician and as a personality, Richard is not for all tastes.
I'm a fan. I really like Richard's music. And a lot of people think it's just kind of weird, but I'm not one of those people. I think it's great. He's an artist. He's pure to what he wants to do. And God knows that might be kind of weird, but he's pure.
You can order Peterson's music on Bandcamp under Green Monkey Records.
There just ain't nobody like Richard.
Corwin Hake, Como News.
Isn't that the truth? Nobody like him. You know, he once took a bus trip to Montana, visited Jeff Bridges, just kind of out of the blue, the actor, and also made frequently birthday cards and Christmas cards for people here at Como News who he had visited with. A fascinating mind, and as someone who plays instruments and spent most of his life trying to learn stuff, I would just stand in the lobby and watch as something would pop into his head and he could play it perfectly. It was really, really incredible. So best of luck to Richard Peterson and all that he's been able to do for this city. During the pandemic, many of us are starting to cook a little bit more. Maybe we're not getting the best nutrition, though, from that homemade food. Como's Denise Whitaker reports.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Sari Stancic tells me she uses a 6-spoked approach to keeping our health on track for life. She says those include exercise, stress management,
management, avoiding addictions, having good social connections, good sleep habits, and solid nutrition. At the heart of that last one, she says, is flooding your dinner plate with colorful fruits and vegetables.
And those colors are indicating these really powerful phytochemicals and antioxidants that are so important in health maintenance. And they're rich in fiber. Fibers, and you know, everyone talks about, am I getting enough protein? It's really not about protein. It's really about fiber. We're so deficient in fiber in the American diet.
Fiber comes from all kinds of fruits and vegetables like raspberries, avocados, peas, legumes, and so much more. So how much fiber do you really need? The USDA recommends 25 grams of fiber for women, 38 grams for men age 50 and younger. But on average, American adults eat just 10 to 15 grams of fiber each day. So how can you get more? Well, eating 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day really can help you reach that goal.
Como's Denise Whitaker reporting. Como News Time, 1:14. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. And good afternoon, Evan Smith. I hope you've had your fiber today.
I've had some of it, yes, but still have some to go. On our drive on northbound 405 right now in South Center, we're still seeing a stalled vehicle partially blocking the on-ramp from West Valley Highway to northbound 405 there. But a contention still on a northbound 5 on the ramp to the West Seattle Bridge is stalled there, still partially blocking that exit. Meanwhile, in Index, fallen power cables have caused a fire just off the road of Highway 2 at Index Galena Road, and that's causing some slowing there. In Issaquah, there's road work in the right lane of both directions of I-90 at Highway 900 and the Sounder North Line suspended until Monday due to increased landslide danger. Our next report is at 1:24. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
Our Como forecast for the weekend, really nice, really, really nice, considering it's the middle of January. We're going to have sunshine at periods of time, both Saturday and Sunday, with high temperatures staying in the low 50s. There is a chance of rain Saturday evening through Sunday morning, but on either side of those days, early Saturday, late Sunday, things are going to be pretty nice. Right now, sunshine, 51 degrees in Seattle.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill, our editor. I'm Taylor Van Sice, and among the headlines we're following from the Como 24/7 News Center, President-elect Joe Biden says the U.S. is in the middle of a very dark winter during the ongoing outbreak. In Delaware today, he warned that things will get worse before they get better and noted that millions of people are hurting during the pandemic through no fault of their own. President Trump, meanwhile, looking to have a big goodbye ceremony at Joint Base Andrews before leaving office. Multiple media outlets reporting that sources inside the Trump administration confirmed that the president wants a military-style setting to bid farewell to those in his administration and his supporters. A retired three-star general is now in charge of the House investigation into the attack on the U.S. Capitol last week. Reporting on this for ABC News is Inez de la Cotera, who joins us on the Como Newsline from Washington, D.C. Inez, tell us about this man known as the Ragin' Cajun and why he was chosen by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, so Lieutenant General Honore is someone who is very well respected, I think, for both sides of the aisle. He was remembered for his role in during Hurricane Katrina, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And so he's been tapped to conduct this investigation, which is just one, we should point out, just one of many investigations that is launching, or at least, we know that there are more House Democrats that are calling for more investigations. So you have a coalition of more than 30 House Democrats right now calling for an investigation into some of the Capitol tours that took place the day before the riots. They're calling those tours suspicious. They're claiming that some of those tours might have served as kind of recon. So they're asking, they're calling for an investigation into that. So I think you're going to see in the coming days more and more investigations either, you know, starting or being called for, because there's a feeling that, you know, obviously everything that happened in terms of security, there's a real concern there that security and security officers just didn't do their work. And that's also why we saw, you know, those resignations of the House Sergeant at Arms, the Senate Sergeant at Arms, and of the U.S. Capitol Police Chief.
You know, it's those allegations of the tours that really caught my eye the last day or two, because I was under the impression that during the pandemic, you know, nobody's able to get into a group and take a tour of, you know, the U.S. Capitol or whatever. You're a credentialed member of the media who is allowed to be in the Capitol. What is access like?
Yeah, I mean, access, it's funny. I actually came out this afternoon to see what the kind of fortress around D.C. looks like. Access to the Capitol is obviously, you know, incredibly restricted. There's only a few ways in and out of the complex. They set up this non-scalable fence all around the complex. They have you know, plenty of National Guardsmen on hand, you know, inside the building and out. They checked my credentials, you know, three times going in today again. And then just around the Capitol. So I'm in downtown D.C. right now. I just went for a walk to see what the scene looks like. And it really is a fortress. I mean, all of downtown D.C. is blocked off. You've got, you know, obviously the Capitol area, but the area around the White House, the National Mall, the National Park Service announced today that they were closing the National Mall to the public from starting today through January 21st, so the Thursday after inauguration. So it's eerie. It's a very, very eerie sight.
You know, come Wednesday, millions of our eyes are going to be focused on the Capitol again for the inauguration. From your perspective there on the ground in D.C., is the average viewer going to notice much damage to the Capitol? It's still a crime scene, after all.
It is still a crime scene, and again, that's why there are, you know, all these calls for investigation. It'll be interesting to see how the Biden team handles this. You know, I think back to the DNC, and there was concern that that could be really boring because of the pandemic. And I think they did a good job. I think, you know, the way the DNC was conducted over Zoom, they did a pretty good job keeping the momentum, or at least that was the feeling on the Democratic side. They were happy with how that unfolded. So they haven't released much details as to what's going to, you know, take place on Inauguration Day, at least not publicly. But I would imagine they're, you know, working hard behind the scenes to put a similar show on. There's obviously going to be some components that are going to be in person, but I would imagine there's also going to be some virtual, you know, aspects of it. We know the inaugural ball, for instance, will be held virtually.
ABC's Inez Delicatera with us on Como News from Washington, D.C. Inez, thanks.
Thank you.
Como News Time 120. It's time for a Propel Insurance Business Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
It turned out to be a pretty good holiday season for retailers after all. Data out today from the National Retail Federation show that retail sales for the 2020 holiday season jumped 8.3% from the year earlier period. The NRF says consumers amid the pandemic chose to spend on gifts that lifted the spirits of their families and friends and provided a sense of normalcy given the challenging year. Online and other non-store sales saw the largest jump, up nearly 24% year over year. That's your money now.
Markets closed lower today. The Dow lost 177 points, about a half percent. 0.75% loss for the S&P 500, down by 27. And just a little bit larger of a loss for the NASDAQ, down 114 points, to end the week at 12,998, below that 13,000 mark. We check money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. Traffic is next.
Como Radio News. Stay connected, stay informed, and check back 2, 3, 4 times a day for the news that affects you, plus traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s. The Northwest News Station. This is Como News.